Praise the Lord, all nations.
Extol the Lord, all people.
The Lord's steadfast love toward us is great.
The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
The Lord is my strength and power. The Lord has become my salvation.
There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him shall receive forgiveness of sins through his name.
Some kids, I got some really cool stuff to talk about today. So if you dare, if you're a superhero, come on up. Anybody else? There's no age limit here. All right. I am so glad to see you guys. I've got a little bit of a story and a little bit of something cool to show you. So let me talk about the story first. What is today? What is today?
Easter.
Easter. And what's Easter all about? Hang on, Jack. I'm going to come down here. Danica.
When God risen.
Yep, when Jesus... He came out of that tomb, didn't he? And because he lives, we get to live with him forever in heaven. It is the most awesome story of all. Well, I'm a visual person, so I have to see stuff to learn stuff. Are you guys like that? Do you need to see pictures to learn something? Nope, you guys don't? Really? I'm all about pictures. And I want to tell you that we've been slaving away in the kitchen to show you a real cool picture today. So I need you to see something with me. The tomb was a place where Jesus's body went, but it isn't where he stayed. So I want you to imagine, I'm going to have Sadie hold this for a second. I want you to imagine that this is the tomb. It's the craziest looking tomb, right? It's a tomb. Inside, when I open it up, what do you see? Say it real loud, Jack. Nothing. Because when the stone rolled away from the tomb, remember the angel was on top of the stone? What was inside the tomb? Nothing. Because Jesus wasn't there any longer. He was there 2 days before, but he's not there now. So I wanted everybody to look at this. The tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, Jesus lives with us forever and ever. It's like a mystery how he started in the tomb, but he didn't end up there. He didn't stay there. It's a really cool story. The other part of the story is when he came out of the tomb, he actually appeared to people. It wasn't like he was magic and just disappeared forever. He actually appeared to people. The first person he appeared to was his very best friend, or one of his very best friends. Does anybody know the story of who he first talked to out of the tomb? It was a girl. Do you remember her name? Oh, wait, hang on, Ella does.
Mary.
Mary Magdalene, you're right. He spoke to her. And my kids in my class are just learning that she first didn't recognize him. She couldn't believe it was him. But then he said her name, and she knew it was him. So I'm going to hand out empty tomb rolls today. We've also got the recipe, so that way everybody knows what's in it. Please show mom and dad or grandma and grandpa first to make sure that it's okay that you eat it. Okay? Will you pray an echo prayer with me? Dear Jesus, thank you that you are not in the tomb. You are alive, and you'll be with us forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God. For we, the people of God, let us say, thanks
be to God. Please be seated. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, brothers and sisters. This is the Sunday of Sundays. This is the day of victory. This is the day of mystery. This is the day where we dance on the grave with the risen Lord Jesus. This is the day of all of our hope, all of our dreams, all of our expectations as a wounded and confused and hurting humanity has led to this moment and looks back to this moment when they came to the tomb and it was empty. Death does not have the last word. Racism and prejudice and hatred and trauma does not have the last word. Cancer does not have the last word. Jesus has the last word. And it was on that cross when he said, "It is finished." We can rejoice. We can have hope. We can change our hearts and lives. We can truly love others because Jesus is risen from the dead. Try not to think too hard about it because it's hard to wrap your mind around. But the tomb was empty. There was proof that he was risen. And everything, as they knew it, was being turned upside down. Everything had changed. Everything was new. But it was dangerous and frightening and even confusing. I always thought it was interesting, and I still do, how Jesus, we know in his ministry that he spent time and he ate with sinners and he preached good news for the poor and he healed the sick and set at liberty people who were oppressed or discouraged or even demonized. He set them free to go and sin no more. He took people who were insane and made them in their right mind. He publicly forgave people who seemed unforgivable or unmentionable. And Jesus had a special ministry where he empowered women and children and outsiders who were welcome to become insiders through Jesus. And it's so significant that the first people who didn't have much of a voice in this society, especially among the Jews, these women who followed Jesus and left it all behind, they were the first ones to know that he was risen. They were the first testimony of his resurrection. It was Mary Magdalene, the former prostitute, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and these other women who got to see first. They were the ones who were empowered with this new good news. This means that anyone who encounters Jesus, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how much you think you might know, or maybe you don't feel like you're good enough, you are good enough to share the testimony of Jesus' resurrection. Your story matters. And your story will provide healing power for people and hope that when you know that God has rescued you from sin and death and you can change, anyone else can change. We will overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, the blood that was spilled on the cross by Jesus. The resurrection says that humanity matters to God, that death is not the end, that he wanted to have this perpetual, eternal relationship with us. And because Jesus has risen from the dead, we can. Life can continue. We can see our loved ones who have died in faith in heaven. And when heaven comes to earth, when Jesus returns And this world that is so messed up and broken and hurting and wounded, even the land and the animals will have peace and rest. And we get to be a part of that because of this resurrection. But we only get to be a part of it if we are willing to belong and to believe and to become who God intended us to be people of holy love and forgiveness and freedom and healing and hope. And the women went back to the apostles, their friends, their companions, and they didn't believe them. Sometimes God does things in our lives that are so good, it's hard to believe. We don't even know sometimes how it happens, but it happens. Once we were blind, but now we can see. Once we were sick, but now we're not. Once we felt shame and guilt, and now we feel loved. It's all changed. But people don't like change. Change is a threat to the status quo. And the status quo of our world is death and division and hatred and selfishness and greed and immorality. Self-gratification, materialism, war. That's been the norm for thousands of years. But Jesus set out to change all that. And isn't it glorious that we get to be part of the changing of our world through the changing of our person? That we can change and have new life. And not cause harm to people. That we can love people and we can do good. And we can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That we can even be filled with His Holy Spirit, which is what raised Jesus from the dead in the first place. And we can live a life where we can trust God. Because everything that God said about Jesus, everything that Jesus said about Himself came true and is true. Friends, this means that God can be trusted, even if it seems unbelievable. And there was one person, one of the disciples in our story today, that believed them enough to go see for himself. And it was Peter. Peter, the real piece of work. Peter, the guy who got it one moment and said, "You are the Christ." And then the next moment said, "No, you can't die, Lord." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." His closest companion. His special project. The guy who stuck his foot in his mouth again and again and again. The man who denied Jesus three times while he was being tortured and interrogated unjustly. And wept bitterly after the cock crowed. Peter got up. He didn't walk to the tomb. He ran to the tomb. And he stooped down and he looked in. And he saw the linen cloths by themselves. In some of the accounts, they were even folded up. And it says he went home amazed at what had happened. He went home amazed at what had happened. Now at this point in the text, we don't know if he got it yet, but he was amazed. He was speechless. The guy who was always running his mouth was speechless. And I can say, in the time that I've been here in Alpha, and especially recently, there have been days where I have gone home and I have just been amazed at what has been happening. And a lot of it is what people don't know or don't see. But God is doing a new thing here in Alpha. He's doing a new thing here in our church. He's doing a new thing even here in our nation and our world. That as it gets darker and bleaker and people get more scared, God is changing more lives and more hearts. And it's upsetting the status quo. and the foundations are crumbling so that more people can hear the gospel. People who have been on the outside or have had walls or obstacles between them and Jesus. Now more than ever, I am seeing the walls come down. The iceberg of our self-deception is melting. Jesus is bringing new life. I have seen families reconciled. I have seen estranged parents reconciled with their sons and daughters. I have seen people healed. I have seen a town experience tragedy and come together despite their differences as one and love one another and help a family go on. And I've seen people who have been grieving become symbols of hope to other people who are afraid to grieve. I have seen children who come from horrible home lives experience the love of Jesus and want to be in his church and want to live for God and pray for their parents and see them change and see people free from addictions and hurts and hang-ups. I've heard people who've talked to me and said, I went to the doctor and they were ready to look for cancer. And they were amazed when they said, there's no cancer. It's a negative reading. I can't believe this. I don't know how this happened, but you don't have cancer. And God has been changing my heart. And it's been like learning how to walk again. God has been teaching me how to love in a whole new way that I've never loved before. God has changed my heart to where I had enmity towards somebody. And I felt like I was just in doing so. And God's like, don't you know that they can change too if I can change you? And God has led me to forgive people who I have had hatred in my heart for. God is changing me. And if God is changing me and giving me new life, he can do it for you. Because I am a wretched sinner in need of a Savior. I don't have it all together. In fact, when I feel like I have it together is when I mess up and I harm people. And when I fall to my knees and I realize that what is going on, this change, this new life is bigger than I can comprehend. And the things that God is doing in this community that I wasn't ready for, that I didn't even feel equipped for, God is doing it and I just need to hold on. And I want to share that with you. That God is going to bring the vision of us sharing the light of Christ with every block in this town through each and every one of you is going to come true because of the resurrection. But I have gone home amazed at what has been happening and what Jesus has been doing. And I'm amazed that all the people are here today to hear this good news. And I hope you are amazed that God loves you. That nothing you have done or has happened to you can separate you from the love of God. The only thing that can take you away from God is if you decide to walk away from God and ignore his invitation to come home, to be loved, to belong, to believe, to become like Jesus, to have hope and a future, and to be healed and restored, and to be a person who helps people find healing and peace and love. That you are not the problem, but you can be a blessing to others. As broken as we are beautiful to God. And every time we find ourselves at the end of ourselves is where God comes in and reveals his strength through our weakness. It's not might is right. It's laying down our lives and letting God fight the fight. That's what Jesus did for us. And we are to follow in his footsteps. To strip ourselves of our privilege and our status and to serve others, even our enemies, and to welcome sinners. No one is beyond the hope of God in Jesus Christ. No one. And so, friends, I am amazed at what has happened with the cross and with the empty tomb. And I pray that when you go home this week and you go to work and you go to school, you will be amazed at what is happening around you and even in your own heart. That your heart would be an empty tomb where the guilt and the shame of your past sins would be washed away and would be replaced with the radiant love of God for you. And so today, we live in the mystery of Christ's resurrection. And I hope today that you are not the same as when you walked in today. I hope today that you encountered the risen Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in God's word today, but also in your neighbor. And I hope that you will carry the presence of the risen Christ in you and in all that you do and all that you are as you lay down your lives for others and love and serve one another, to love and serve God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So receive this benediction. We, the redeemed, the restored, the rescued, the renovated people of God, are sent forth in the power of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.